Father. Lord, as we bring these praises, God, we want to love you more. We want to grow closer to you, even in this moment, in this hour. And Lord, I pray that as we are here together, Lord, that our hearts would be open for your Spirit. That, Lord, even right now, you would just remove any thoughts or distractions that might be going on in our lives. Help us, Lord, to focus on you and what you would have for us. Lord, let your word speak to us now. Help it to refresh us, to move us closer to you. May we see its truth and, Lord, apply it to our lives. God, thank you for loving us first. Thank you for providing forgiveness for our sins. A grace and a mercy that is so unmatched. That, Lord, today we can sing these praises. Move in us now as only you can, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. I think you may be seated. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed to Kids Connect. Time in the Word for them. And this morning, we're going to have come speak for us. Brother Andrew's going to come and speak and give us something that God has laid on his heart. And you're not going to have to listen to me, so you can enjoy that. But Andrew, you come and give us a message that God's laid on your heart this morning.
I love from going one side of the stage to the other. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to focus in on just one particular verse, but ultimately have to look at the whole chapter to understand the verse. And as God was laying this on my heart, I began seeking what I need, what he wanted me to preach. Because there's always what I want to preach, and then there's what he wants to preach. And so I love how some of y'all gave me a really big head nod, like, thank God. But here's the thing. I think you and I share this, that we all go through trials and troubling times, that we all have things that come up in front of us and we sit here and wonder, well, how are we going to get through it? How is this going to play into God growing me? And when we look at it, it's so easy to get lost in the struggle of the moment. That too often what we do is we look at the here and now and not what God is going to do. Not what God is doing in the process to then grow us so that when we finish whatever what we're going through, at the end of it, we look back and go, wow. I can share story after story, personal testimony of this, and I'll just share a brief one. I've shared this before, but it's been one of those things with Stephanie and I that when we were married, we didn't know where exactly God was going to lead us, and it was funny that when we got married, I told Steph, God has called me to ministry, so we will go where God called. And she says, well, as long as it's in the DFW Metroplex. So God, in his infinite sense of humor, laid two churches at our feet. One was out in West Texas, Big Sandy. The other one was Quitman. And, of course, we began to pray about it. And it turned out that one of my buddies had his resume was at both of them. He went to Big Sandy. We went to Quitman. And so Steph was like, okay, fine. I'll follow you wherever you lead as long as it's in the East Texas, you know, area with, you know, within a couple of hours from Fort Worth. Quitman leads to Wells. We go a little farther away. But the process of going Quitman to Wells, we had no clue what God was going to do. Because as one ended, it ended in a time that we look at it and go, well, what in the world? And it's humorous. Because in the middle of all the struggle that Quitman was ending with, my best friend in the entire world outside of my father and my bride looked at me on the phone and said, you still want to stay in ministry? You still want to go be a pastor? And I said, well, buddy, God didn't release me from the call just because people are sometimes hard to deal with. Which leads us to chapter 4 of verse 18 of chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. Notice what Paul says here. He says this, "So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let's pray. Father, as we take a few moments and dive into this passage of Scripture, I just ask for clarity of mind, open hearts and minds, and that you'd give me the words to say, that God, nothing I would say would be outside of your will, and that we would leave this place challenged and changed, ready to serve you. For your name we pray. Amen. Paul here is writing, he says, so we don't focus on what is seen. So to understand why he is saying that, let's just back up and we're going to kind of briefly walk through chapter 4. And to understand this, we see the first thing is this. Notice in verse 1, he says, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not give up. You see, Paul is going through the struggles as well. And in it, he says, listen, we've received this gift of ministry through mercy. And because of that, we cannot give up. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. It doesn't matter what's coming against us. It doesn't matter what's in front of us. And here's, I heard a story of Rob O'Neill. He's a former Navy SEAL. He was doing an interview, and he was telling a story of his time in BUDS, basic underwater training. And he was doing the knot tying phase. And in BUDS, apparently knot tying, which I'd probably fail at because I can barely tie my own shoes, is the reason why I wear boots or just tie them and slip them on. But in underwater knot tying, it's a pass or fail event. If you don't pass it, they don't move you forward. And his dive buddy, his swim buddy, was struggling with one of the knots. And so you get three attempts. And on that third attempt, his buddy went down and was tying and was trying to get it over and over and over and over again, knowing that if I don't get it on this time, I am cut from BUDS. Not because I can't shoot, I can't swim, I can't do it, because I can't tie a knot. And so he's down there to the point where he gets a shallow water blackout, passes out underwater, and nearly drowns to death. The instructors pull him up, and Rob's sitting there going, great, the guy I'm going through BUDS with is about to get kicked out because of this, that, and the other. He can't tie a knot. They revive the guy, and the first words out of his mouth when he wakes up is, did I get the knot? And the instructor looks at him and says, yeah, man, you got the knot. You're good. Rob said, looked at the instructor later on, it was just two of them, he goes, he didn't get the knot. He said, listen, we're looking for someone who's willing to persevere through any and every adversary, whatever's in front of them, willing to give their life to tie a knot. That's the type of guy we're looking for. Paul here is saying, listen, it doesn't matter how tough it gets, we do not quit because we have ministry given through the mercy that God gave us. So he says, that's why we don't focus on what's in front of us. But notice as well, he also says we have a valuable treasure. Notice in chapter 4 in verse 7 through 12, he talks about now we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. And you have to understand something. A clay jar at this point in time was like a Walmart sack to us. A Walmart sack, and it's funny, if you're like my parents or my in-laws, they go and buy a bunch of Walmart sacks because we have children with diapers. And a poopy diaper comes, and we just don't go throw it in the trash can. You have to put it in the Walmart bag, tie it up again, tie it up a third time to make sure that smell does not leak out. And then and only then can you go out. And here's the thing, Walmart bags are common. We use them for trash. We use them for things that are just excess. If you don't, my parents are not watching the live stream, but when I moved home from Houston Baptist the first go around, I moved home in Walmart bags. Because my best friend David drove down to move me home, and he forgot to get my luggage. And so we went to Walmart that night, bought a couple of Dr. Peppers, put them in a bag, and I said, can I have some of these plastic bags? And they were like, how many do you need? And I just grabbed about a stack about that high because I had no clue how many I'd need, and just grabbed them. They said, okay. And I moved home with those. You see, that's what we are. We are common plastic bags, common jars. And here's the reason why Paul says, so that when God does something good in us, they don't look at it and go, do you see how good Andrew is? they look at it and go, well, obviously it couldn't have been him. It's so that when we do something for the Lord and God blesses, that we can't sit there and go, look at me in all my splendor. Because I'll just be honest with you, there's nothing pretty about me. There's nothing great about me. I'm not overly talented or anything like that. And that's the reason why Paul says we have this treasure. This treasure has been given to us because we are that clay jar. We are that ordinary vessel that when God does something, we are blessed because God chose to use us, an ordinary vessel. So therefore, we don't look at what's in front of us. He also says this, he was sure of the ultimate victory. Notice in verse 14, he says, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us with him. You see, you have to understand something. When we have the trials and the struggles that are right in front of us, it's a lot of times very difficult to see what God will do. Because we get so enamored in what's right in front of us that we're not thinking three or four steps down the road when God is looking at it going, okay, here's your next test. When you get through with that, you'll see exactly what I'm going to do. Since we've left Wells, a handful of people have kept in touch with us, and it's been nice to get a message every once in a while from former church members. Hey, we're praying for you. We're excited for you. We really miss you. You sure you don't want to come back? And that kind of thing. But one guy he's one of those encouraging people that he would always just randomly text me in the most random parts of the day. It was when his job had a break, and he works at Pilgrim's Factory down there, and he'd take a break, and he just would randomly send me messages, hope you're having a blessed day, and it would always be at this God-appointed time when I'm going through some sort of struggle. So, of course, we get here, and we're still in the process of finding a place to live and getting adjusted and all this other kind of stuff, and he sends me a random message, says, well, Brother Pearl, missing you, but praying for you, hope you're doing well. Things going okay, and I actually took some time to respond to him because I wasn't running around doing things, and he sent a longer message. So I said, yeah, I said, you know, God's growing us, and so sometimes we don't necessarily like the growing pains, but as God grows us and we trust him, we know that there's going to be a blessing and all that kind of stuff. And we began talking, and he said, well, what kind of growing pains? I said, well, you know how it is, trying to find a home that fits us and all this other kind of stuff, and you know, we're getting used to new people, and new people are getting used to us and all. And so it's just one of those things where as God's growing us, there's always that stretch. He always stretches us to get us to where we are. I said, it's just the growing pains. But I know God's going to do something awesome because I trust him. No different than Paul here in verse 14. He says, listen, we know, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us with him and present us with him. He's saying, we don't focus on what's in front of us because we know that if God raised his own son, he will do the same for us. That whatever we're going through, God has this perfect plan. Notice also in verse 15, he was sure that God would get the glory for whatever is in front of him. He says this, for all this is because of you, so that grace extended through more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to God's glory. Paul here is again saying, whatever's in front of us, number one, God has a perfect plan for it. We've been given this ministry so we don't give up. We've been given this ministry so we don't stop. We don't quit. We continue to press forward because we're an earthen vessel. We're just this clay jar that at the end of the day, we don't get the glory for it because we know God's going to do something awesome. And when God does something awesome, it shouldn't point to us. It should point to his glory. And when it points to his glory, not only does he get the blessing from it, but he blesses us in return. And he says, listen, when you do this, it should cause thanksgiving to overflow in us to God's glory. When God does something incredible for us, through us, and in us, it causes us to be overly thankful to the point when we become so thankful, all we can do is give God glory. It's just incredible to see. The first time I ever, I guess you could say, experienced this, I was a teenager. The church that I was a part of, we went and did a choir tour / mission trip up in Wenatchee, Washington. That's near Seattle. You fly to Seattle and you take like a van ride or whatever about an hour and a half east, And there's Wenatchee. We had some friends that were up there, and we went up there and did a choir tour. We went and sang at different churches. This was back when that was real a big thing. And it was interesting because instead of doing canned music, we did live music. And so as we're playing live music and we're going from church to church to play, I'm playing the guitar in this group. I'm still kind of a newbie on the guitar and I'm still learning, but I'm stretching myself, trying to get better and all. And people would come up and say, "Man, Andrew, you did so good." And I called my dad and I went, "Dad, I'm not used to this." He said, "Well, son, it ain't because you're that talented." He said, "They're probably being nice to you." Always know that a dad or a father-in-law will keep you humble. But, he said, "Son, you know what you do in those moments?" I said, "No, that's why I am calling you. Oh, wise father." And that's how I flipped it back on him. He said, "Well, son, when they give you praise, just act like you're a mirror. Point it up to heaven. Because when they praise you, it doesn't need to go to your head. Because as you get better and better and better," he said, "you need to remember God gave you that talent." Years down the road, I'm out of high school, playing in a couple of different groups, but one group I was telling the students this morning, we're playing, and we start getting scouted by Sony Records, and it was kind of interesting. But we were Christians in a band, and actually the only Christian in the band was me. Everybody else said they knew Jesus, said they knew God, but they didn't live like it. Students and I are studying the book of Titus right now and talking about that. And so I'm learning at that point in time that, okay, well, God's given me this talent. It's kind of interesting. We've been in the studio cutting this record. I've got to use my talent for the Lord, and I'm not. And then as that happens, the job that I'm working, I'm apparently making more money than my mom did at the time, waiting tables while she worked at TCU. She said, "I don't make that in a week." And I'm like, "I don't know. I guess I'm a people person and people just are nice and that, or they feel sorry for me. I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm grateful for the gas money." And she, you know, so the job made me, my band made me, and then the girl I was dating, you know, was just one of those things. No, it was not Steph. I had no clue who Stephanie Danielle Markham was at that time. And all of a sudden, on one weekend, the band split up. Found out the job was no more because the company had come in and bought the restaurant and was changing it over, and the girl that I was dating broke up with me. It's a great weekend. Just tie it in with my dog died if that happened, and it would have just solidified it. But in the middle of it, I just was going, "I don't understand." And my mom and dad, of course, in their infinite wisdom, gotta love parents, said, "Son, you ever think God's trying to teach you something?" Like, "Well, why do you always have to bring it back to that?" Mom and Dad said, "Well, because most of the time God's trying to teach you something. What's He teaching you?" Start thinking, I start praying about it. Turns out, the lesson my dad taught me in Wenatchee, Washington, had kind of whittled out my brain. That I was looking at my talent, looking at everything, going, "Look at what I did. Look at what God was not doing through me, but look at what I was doing. I'm being scouted by Sony Records in this group. Look at this." It wasn't, "Hey God, I really need to seek your face, and is this what you have for me?" It was, "This is what I want to do. God bless it." I didn't have that right perspective, and in that, God got my attention and was like, "Listen, your talent came from me. I gave it to you. And just as quick as I gave it to you, I can quickly take it away. Don't squander it." You see, in this, I didn't understand that. And so therefore, I didn't give God glory for it. But as time went on and as I grew, I began to develop that mindset again. That no matter what I did, it was to give God glory. Not so that I got any credit for it or anything good about it, but that God got it. And Paul here says the same thing. But notice again in verse 18, he says, "So we don't focus on what is seen, but what is unseen." He saw and knew that heaven was real, that what God promised through Jesus Christ would happen. And if He promised it, He knew it would come to fruition. And the last thing was this, that trials were working for Him. Notice in verse 16 and 17, he says this, "Therefore we do not give up, Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. He's saying, listen, all those trials, all those things that are going on right now, yes, the outer flesh might be being destroyed. But the inner self, the inner person who Christ is dwelling inside, he is being renewed. And he says this, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. And then he climaxes this chapter with, so we don't focus on what's in front of us. We focus on what's coming. You see, for the believer, we don't sit here and say, well, I can't endure these trials because what's going on in front of us. We sit here and say, well, I know we can endure this because of the promise of heaven. We're not living for tomorrow. We're living for heaven down the road. Now, heaven could come tomorrow. It could come before I finish this. It could come before the next amen. We don't know. So therefore, he says, that's why we don't give up. That's why we continue to press forward. That's why when things happen, we give credit and glory to God. So that when God does something incredible, it isn't us getting the credit. It's He's getting the credit. And then at the end of it all, we continue to press forward because we know that the trials that we are going through work for His glory. Now, I thought it was kind of interesting that God laid this on my heart and pastors preaching through Exodus. Because when you look at what the Israelites were going through, as we'll see soon, they do eventually leave Egypt. And when they do, at one point in time, they start going, it was just better for us back there. It was better for us back there. And it's like they still don't learn this. If you have, if you want, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Interesting. This here is Elisha. And it's quite funny because in this moment, Elisha has been running and trying to escape the Aramean army. And as he does, he comes to this point and he and his servant are camped up on this ridge. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, his servant basically wakes him up, and when he does, his servant is going nuts because he is only seeing what is in front of him. And what he sees in front of him is the Aramean army has figured out where they are. They are now camped, and the numbers that they have so outnumber Elisha and his men that his servant is going, what is going on? And he wakes him up. Notice in verse 15, he says, when the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, oh, my master, what are we to do? And I think it's interesting. Elisha doesn't look at him, smack him in the head and go, will you just open your eyes? Because I'm pretty sure half of us in here would sometimes maybe prefer to do that. I mean, I don't know if when Dad and I were young, I was younger and Dad was, well, yeah, younger. But we would be working on something. I'd do something. He'd kind of thump me in the head and be like, there's your reset button. Focus on what you're trying to do. Well, but I'm doing it. He said, but son, we're changing the oil in the car and you're at the jack. I need you to pay attention where you're at. I don't want the car falling on me type thing. There was always that reset button. Elisha probably wanted to go over there, hit the reset button, go, will you just focus on what's important? But he doesn't. Notice what he does in verse 16. Elisha said, in probably a calm voice, don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them. Now, I can only imagine what his servant is thinking. Hit the sauce early today? Did you wake up and hit your head on the rock pillow that you were sleeping on? What is going on? I don't see what you're seeing. I mean, what is going on? Did the food we ate last night mess you up? But notice Elisha prays. He says, Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. So the Lord opened his servant's eyes and he looked and saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, his servant at the time had tunnel vision. All he could see was right in front of him. He couldn't see and he didn't care to even think about what God was going to do. All he saw was right in front of him, oh my, this army is going to take us by storm and all. And Elisha, instead of being how we probably would have been, he says, look, those that are out there, those are with us, outnumber those that are out there. And he prays, God, just open his eyes. You see, if you and I had eyes like that to see what God was going to do in the future, I have a feeling we wouldn't have to walk by faith. But at the end of the day, God doesn't do that. And that's the reason why Paul here says, listen, we don't quit. We continue to press forward for God's glory because we are earthen jars, and therefore, we don't need to be so nearsighted we miss what God is going to do. We have a new year in this church coming up. We have lots of great ideas and plans and things that Pastor and I have been talking about and planning for and all. But guess what? We don't want to be nearsighted in that either. We don't want to sit here and look at it and go, okay, well, this is what's in front of us. And so we don't want what's in front of us to stop or hinder what God might do. And what we want to do, of course, is follow the Lord. That's the reason why he says this. And at the end of verse 10, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And what we don't know what God will do, we know that what he begins, he always comes to fruition. And when he does, he gets the glory for it. So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what type of trials or struggles or anything you go through. Your life might be hunky-dory. If so, can you come talk to me about how great that is and kind of give me the 1-2 steps on how to do it? But if you're like me and like everybody else that I know, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you always go through trials. You always go through some sort of struggle. Whether you're the Israelites in Egypt going day to day having to use and find their own straw to build the bricks, or you're Paul going from city to city knowing you're going to meet opposition. Whatever it is that you are going through, know this. Have the right perspective. Have that right mindset that when the time comes and God says, here's why I brought you through that, you can look back on it and go, wow, that's what you brought me through and this is what you taught me. So maybe you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus because you don't understand what it is to trust the Lord in this. Well, here's the beauty of this whole thing. God is a gracious and good God. And as much as we in our society don't like to admit it, we are sinners. We mess up. We sin. We miss that mark of perfection every day. And because God is good and gracious, he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life for you and for me. Die a sacrificial death that he did not deserve so that the penalty of our sin could be paid. But then God raised him from the dead like Paul mentions in verse 14. And he doesn't just raise him from the dead just so that he can say, look at what I did. He does that so we can have hope that when we die, we will one day be reunited with him. In the moment of our death, we are now in heaven. And in that, we have that hope. And so therefore, we give our life to Christ. And in giving our life to Christ, we trust him. That's the reason why Paul says, I don't care what comes up against me. I'm not going to quit. It's the reason why when my best friend was talking to me and he said, you're seriously still going to stay in ministry? I said, yeah, because God didn't call me out of it. Because I know God works in weird ways that I don't understand. And I trust him by faith, by first and foremost, putting my faith in him for salvation. That he will deliver me from my sin. Maybe you're here and you've given your heart and life to Jesus, but you never trust him in believer to baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. You can join every church in the block and still die lost. Baptism is that outward expression of that inward faith. Maybe you need to just follow him in believer's baptism. In just a few moments, the pastor will be down front. I'll be down as well. We'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe God is calling you to join Talcy Baptist Church and walk alongside with us as we seek to glorify God in what he's doing in this area. I don't know what it is. But as we do, I ask that he would have his will and way. Let's stand and pray. Father God, we know that you work all things out for the good to those that love you. And God, we know that where we don't understand what you do, why you do it, you call us not to understanding, but you call us to faith. You call us to trust. And so, Father, I just ask that we would trust you, that we would rest in that, knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith. So, God, whatever it is that we're going through, whatever it is that people are struggling with, I just ask that you would comfort them, that you would give them a peace that passes understanding. And that, God, that they would trust you. That they wouldn't focus on what is right in front of them, God, but that they would focus on the unseen. That they would focus on what you can and will and are going to do in our lives. That through that you would get the glory, so that none of the credit can come back on anybody or this church, but that you and you alone would get the glory for it. But God, no matter what, I just ask you to have your will and way in this moment. In your name we pray. Amen.